7 o'clock. Good morning, Pyle. I'm feeling great today. It's Wine About a Wednesday with Tal and Wine. Gripes, complaints, issues that you have in your daily life. Ranger Suarez dominating the Rockies last night. Cool name. But
yeah.
Really?
Should be on the world champs, right? Texas Ranger Suarez.
You would think so. Would he roundhouse kick somebody, though?
Maybe. He probably could. Roadhouse. Different guy, but still.
Yeah.
He should just change his name to whatever team he's on. Since he's already named after a team in the league, he should just be Philly Suarez.
Yeah, Philly Suarez. Be great. Be perfect.
And gets, you know, traded to the Mets. You know, like, sad face Suarez.
Metropolitan Suarez.
Mr. Met would be a little mad. He's like, I'm already named Met.
You have to go full thing. Yeah. Metropolitan.
Be different mad.
Yeah.
You know, watching the team makes you unreasonable.
Yeah. The beatdown goes on for the Rockies. I still find interesting that we got compared to... I'm flattered to be compared to Jerry Schimmel, to be quite honest. Because we were compared to Jerry yesterday. But in the overly optimistic sense about the Rockies, which I think we're just not looking optimistic.
It's hopeful.
We're just looking for silver linings here, people.
Right.
I mean, it's a long season.
There's still 144 of these left.
It's easy to go out and crap on them.
Yes.
True. That's low hanging fruit.
Everybody does that.
That's easy to do. They're now at 4-14. Uh-huh. It's easy to do.
How'd they ever win 4?
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
Candlesticks make a great wedding gift, by the way. At some point, you have to look for some positives, or you're just going to drive yourself crazy. And we knew this year was going to be probably another 100-loss season.
Mm-hmm.
Shaping, coming into form early, by the way, for the Rockies on that. But as we said yesterday, they've had the 16-1 opener at Arizona. The stench of that has stayed with them for a while. Because they've lost some close games, some one-run games.
Yeah.
Particularly at Coors Field. Not say that they'll be in first place in the West or anything ridiculous like that. But they've lost some close games. And then last night they get shut out again. They get shut out 5-0.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, Gomber was all right.
It wasn't terrible.
It wasn't terrible. He was okay.
Give up 3 runs last night.
And go 5 1/3, give up 3 runs. I'm all right with that. As a starting pitcher for the Rockies, I'm all right with that. Vodnik was good out of the bullpen. Tyler Kinley kind of blew up any chance they had. But their offense has been, is, and will be punchless until they get some guys that can put the ball in play. I don't need 40 home runs. I would like somebody that could hit me 150 singles, though. You know, just at least get on base. Do something. They scattered 7 hits last night.
Because when you look at it lately, the pitching has not been terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a lack of offense at times for this team.
They had 31 at-bats last night, 4 with runners in scoring position.
It's just not going to get
it
done.
That's not Austin Gomber's fault.
No.
Or Cal Quantrill before him.
No, Quantrill pitched outstanding.
He was stellar.
Because Aaron Nola was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it was a great matchup. And Quantrill he rose to the challenge.
And we have Bud Black Sound. He's talking about it a little bit, about how the young guys offensively have just been facing studs the last week or so with Berrios and Nola and then Suarez. They're going to scuffle, but they also weren't set up to be very good in the first place. And that's the problem. That's half the problem for the Rockies is that you're supposed to take them seriously when they run out Alan Trejo and Michael Tolia and Brenton Doyle, who has had a better start to the season, but Nolan Jones is a 171. You're supposed to take these guys seriously. And they're going out there and like, all right, here's Aaron Nola. Go get him, kids.
You're two veteran guys, mm-hmm. Blackman, McMahon. They had three hits last night. Mac had two. Diaz had a hit. So your veteran guys stepped up last night.
Yeah.
But Tolia went 0-for. Not that Jones, once again, Jones is not in that young category. But he went 0-for-4 last night.
Tovar with the hat trick.
Tovar was 0-for-3 last night.
Three strikeouts.
Doyle was at least he got a base knock last night. Mm-hmm. But Suarez was great. He's now 3-0. Suarez has been phenomenal, and gets a complete game victory last night, goes the 9 innings. Like what you're saying with Gomber, you went 5 1/3, gave up 3 runs. Those are numbers you're going to take, particularly on the road. But you got to do something offensively.
If I'm Bud Black, it's like, hey, you did your part. The rest of the team failed you. Austin Gomber was good enough to win last night. He just doesn't have a team around him that can win those games.
And therein lies the problem for this team, where the Rockies used to be one of the very best offensive teams in baseball. Mm-hmm. We've talked about the steadily declining home run numbers.
They may have been bad at times, but they were entertainingly bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now they're just kind of boring.
Batting average wise, you know, their average is always okay. It's never It's never terrible, but it's all the power numbers that used to be there that are no longer there. The Rockies right now are hitting .245 as a team. It's not bottom of the league. It's currently 18th or right there with they're a little bit ahead of the A's right now.
There's 8 games this season where they've scored 2 or fewer runs.
But just looking at home runs right now, the Rockies, they're 18th in home runs, tied with several other teams in that with that number, including the Pirates and the Rays.
Teams that are decent.
Yeah, that are okay. Pirates have actually got off to a decent start.
Surprising, yeah.
Yeah, got off to a good start. But it's a team that's always been where you think, okay, well, they're tied for 18th. They've got 16 home runs. It's not horrible, but again, the Rockies have always been at least a top 15 mm-hmm. home run hitting team.
They need to be upper half of the league. They ideally would like to be top 10.
Preferably.
You know. And then, even then, the team is borderline average. But we've been talking about it for the last, it seems like since the pandemic season, they have not been the offensive complement to some okay pitching. Like, they don't have the starting rotation out there with 5 guys over 7.
No.
Sometimes they get really good efforts.
Like Cal Quantrill the other night.
You know, even giving up 5 runs to a major league team is not awful anymore, but you lose 5-0 on the road to Chicago because you can't figure out Shota Imanaga. You lose 5-0 in Toronto on Sunday because Jose Barrios was sticking it. You lose 5-3 in Toronto. Dakota Hudson had another pretty decent start. He's actually been probably the Rockies' best starter game in and game out.
That's probably fair to say.
You just can't figure it out. I mean, Hudson's ERA is at 4.15. Feltner's is better. But Hudson 0-3. And I think in his starts, he's had a total of 4 runs of support when he was in the game as the pitcher of record.
And the bullpen hasn't been bad. I mean, Mears has been really good.
Yeah.
Lawrence hasn't been terrible.
Tyler Kinley's not been great. Molina wasn't great, but they haven't used him in a while. You know, Bird's been all right. Victor Vodnik's been good.
Yeah.
He's yet to allow a run in 12 1/3.
I mean, you look at the starting rotation right now. It's not that big, except for Freeland's the outlier. With an ERA of over 13, you're gonna take an ERA around 5. Quantrill's 5.57 right now.
Yeah.
But you're going to take Feltner under 4. Gomber just under four. Hudson at 4.15 right now. Mm-hmm. You're most years you go, thank you. Yes,
heck yeah.
I'll take that.
I think we haven't talked about Peter Lambert, how good he's been out of the bullpen this year.
He's got an ERA under two right now, and he's got a couple of wins. I mean, it's when you look at it, the pitching is not the problem here.
No.
It's the offense. It's the offense that's the problem. Got something you want to offer up today on the Rockies? And this is not overly optimistic talk. This is just looking at the numbers that are sitting in front of us.
Just looking at the BRF page, baseball reference page. That's it.
That's it. And just looking at their own stats from their website.
Yeah.
And knowing what the expectation is for Rocky starting pitching, they're never going to have gaudy ERAs. They're never going to have a 2.25 ERA. It's not going to happen. If you get an ERA under five for a starter, we can all agree, you're going to be pretty happy with that. You're going to be okay with that. And that's where the majority of the Rockies' starting rotation is right now. They get, like I said, kind of knocked out of whack because of Freeland.
I was giving the Rockies way too much credit in their run support of Dakota Hudson. They've scored three runs total while he's been in the game as the pitcher of record.
Yeah, that's not going to get it done.
I mean, he had a start, his start against Toronto. He gave up five earned runs in six innings, and his ERA went up to 4.15. And he did not get the win. He took the loss because they didn't score until he had departed. So he didn't get any run support.
All right, so get some thoughts on the Rockies. Also, last night's play-in tournament.
Yeah.
Nuggets are going to get the Lakers.
Where were you when the Lakers beat the Pelicans?
I watched it last night.
I was out doing baseball.
That's right. You're busy. I was watching the play-in tournament last night. Zion Williamson, it was so weird. Drives in for a little floater and then kind of comes up limping a little bit. And like, what, 3:19 left in the game?
Mm-hmm.
And he was dominating. He had 40 points. He was great. And then they take him down the tunnel, don't see him again. And then the Lakers are able to go out and get it done. LeBron James, 23 points last night. Double-double last night for a street close.
He did a half of Paul Pierce, is what you're saying?
Didn't have to go in a wheelchair or anything. Didn't come back out in a wheelchair or anything like that. He just went to the tunnel, went to the locker room, and didn't come back. And the way he was playing last night, that hurt in a big way for the Pelicans because McCollum and company couldn't fill that void at the end of the game. But the LeBron James rematch with Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets, of course, Western Conference Finals last year. Nuggets have won eight straight.
Are the Lakers still cranky about the daddy thing from July?
Well, now they're going to have a chance to...
Redemption.
Shut Michael Malone up.
Yeah.
This is their chance.
There you go. It's not going to happen.
I just
good luck, though.
Good luck. No, I'm not wishing the Lakers good luck. I'm not going to do that.
It was a facetious, mean-spirited good luck.
Yeah, good luck to you.
Good luck there, Skippy.
Good luck, LeBron. Yep. Good luck, street clothes. I think it's going to be, I don't know if Denver sweeps them like they did in the Western Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm. But could be a gentleman sweep.
Could be. I'm envisioning a gentleman sweep. Scott Hastings from the Nuggets telecast on Altitude will be joining us at 9:20 this morning. Also, Avs radio voice Connor McGahee, who implicitly asked me not to ask him about what the problem is with the Avalanche right now.
So that's the first thing we ask him.
Of course.
That's how it works, right?
I don't want him hanging up on us. I just don't. I just don't want that to happen.
Like for good radio.
Yeah, but not good long-term radio because we'd love having that dude on.
That would be the highest quality person to hang up on us on this program.
That's true. That would be the very best.
It would set a high bar.
As opposed to
the guy from, Greeley
Tribune.
Greeley Tribune, yeah.
Whose name I don't even remember anymore.
I don't either.
It's like, and he was on what we were talking.
We were talking Palisade Mead.
Yeah,
playoff football.
Yeah.
And he no-showed the first day. rescheduled himself for the same time the next day. And then apparently double booked himself and picked somebody else over.
And told us on the air, basically.
Told us on the air. It's like, hey, by the way, if this call comes in, I'm going to hang up on you guys. Like, well, thanks for that.
Thanks.
And the call did come in, so at least he followed through, I guess.
Thanks, you jack wagon.
Jabron.
I'm just trying to remember the guy's name.
I have no idea. I can't remember his name whatsoever.
I'm going to the Greeley Tribune site.
Who knows if he works there?
Yeah, who knows if the guy's still there anymore or not. See if this jogs.
He might work for Elwood's paper in Nebraska.
Bobby Fernandez?
No, not that. I don't think it was that.
Okay. Because I don't want to throw people under the bus that don't deserve to be thrown under the bus.
I don't think it was that.
No, because it was a guy.
Yeah.
Annie Delaney would not be the
person. No.
Nathan Wright?
Sounds wonderful. No.
Okay.
Not the...
Because I don't remember the guy's name. I don't.
I don't either.
I remember being really, really mad. I remember being really ticked. It's like, what?
Yeah, that next segment kind of ruined any chance of getting him back on the show. And he had
every bit
of it coming.
Thanks, Greeley guy, for big-timing us. All right, so Connor McGahey, along with Scott Hastings and the chairman of the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series, Jamie Hamilton, will join us in the studio at 9 o'clock this morning. Get the latest on who might be speaking at JUCO. If the chairman feels like... giving us an update on that, gives us the latest info on who's coming to Grand Junction to speak.
Should we ask him true or false questions?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, I'm going to strongly encourage you not to do that.
True or false, it's...
Fill in the blank. All right. Of course, we do want to acknowledge the passing of former JUCO speaker Whitey Herzog, who spoke at the banquet in 2002. The Cardinals to a World Series title?
Yeah. Whitey ball.
Yeah. All right. So we'll have what's happening coming up in just a moment, brought to you by ComWest. Who do we have on the team line?
This is Sam from Fruita.
All right. Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Jim Davis. Let me say first a big congrats on the award.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Did you win something?
Yeah. Apparently that's... I won.
Our mailers got out, apparently.
I won for best job doing kitchen duty here at the radio station.
That's for sure.
No, it would not
be
you.
They
trust
sent
me.
The email out after I was done.
I know. I was going to say something the other day. It's like, you might want to take care of that, buddy. But, well, you're an adult. And
so is everybody else.
I'm not your dad or your uncle, so there we go. But thank you, Sammy. I appreciate it. It's an award to receive from, or I'm going to receive from the Colorado Athletic Directors Association for covering high school sports. So I do appreciate that. Thank you.
Let us know about that yesterday afternoon. I'm proud of you, Jim.
Well, thank you,
really
Samuel.
You deserved it.
I appreciate that, and I do want to take a moment. Since you brought it up, Josh King and Paul Kane. Of course, Josh is the AD at Central High School, and Paul's the District 51 Athletic Director. They both nominated me for that. Buckeye, you provided some information to them.
Yeah, a little bit.
Without me knowing anything about this until several weeks ago, and I want to thank Josh and Paul, though, for nominating me for the award. And thank the Colorado Athletic Directors Association as well for the award. So you and I will not be here on the 29th because we're going to Breckenridge for that. So anyway, but thank you. I appreciate that, Sam.
You're welcome. I wasn't able to get through yesterday. I had just a couple comments to make quickly because I'm off to a doctor's appointment. But... were talking about Sean Payton's last Super Bowl win and the fact that the Broncos won since then without his help. And, you know, I've had some real serious questions about the football genius. It seems to me like this time last year when he picked Vance Joseph as his defensive coordinator, I think he lost his Mensa membership.
Especially after the 70-point debacle at Miami. Yeah, things got better. They had 16 turnovers during the 5-game winning streak, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, maybe this isn't going to be so bad. Yeah, when he hired Vance Joseph, you just kind of went, what? This is the genius of Sean Payton to hire Vance Joseph, a guy that's obviously flamed out as a head coach in Denver and then also didn't exactly light the world on fire as a defensive coordinator in Miami either.
No, I think he only had one real good season, I think, down in Arizona as D.C. So, well, hey, we'll see what happens.
Anything else you wanted to talk about today? Or
nah, I gotta hustle. So you guys take care. Good talking with you.
All right, likewise, and good luck at the doctor's appointment today, Sam. And I appreciate the kind words.
Bye-bye.
And take care. All right, Sam from Fruita today. All right, so text or call the show today, 970-242-1340. And it's time to get to What's Happening This Morning.
What's Happening?
And brought to you by ComWest, your technology partner. One call, one team, one goal. Helping your business grow. ComWest helps business owners grow their business by providing quality, reliable, personalized technology solutions. As your technology partner, ComWest maximizes your investment and ensures your office technology is working efficiently, giving you peace of mind so you can focus on growing your business. IT services to meet your business needs, PC and server support, business phone systems, surveillance, network support, cybersecurity, backup and disaster recovery. Nathan and his team have you covered. Call ComWest today, 970-242-8142. Go to ComWestCorp.com. All right, lead things off with last season. The Nuggets and the L.A. Lakers squared off in the Western Conference Finals. This time will be in the first round as defending champs get LeBron James and the Lakers. L.A. won at New Orleans 110-106 last night in the play-in tournament with James scoring 23 points in the win. The Pelicans' Zion Williamson scored a game-high 40 points but left the game with 3 minutes left with an apparent injury. Denver swept L.A. 4-0 to advance to the NBA Finals last season to win their first ever league title. Nuggets have won 8 straight against the Lakers. They open the series Saturday night in Denver. Coverage on the Team Sports Network will start at 6 o'clock with tip-off at 6:30. We'll talk with Scott Hastings from Altitude coming up at 9:20 this morning, previewing that matchup. The Broncos have started their voluntary offseason workouts, but veteran receiver Cortland Sutton isn't attending. The Denver Post reports that Sutton's sitting out until he gets a new contract. He currently has 2 years left on his current deal, with only $2 million of the $26 million left guaranteed. Denver's first mandatory workouts are not scheduled until June 11th through the 13th. Yermak welcomes back to the fold Mike Dunlap, who was named the new head coach of the Cobb Mesa men's basketball team. Dunlap coached the Metro State Roadrunners to a pair of national championships in the early 2000s before becoming a coach in some capacity at the D1 and NBA levels. Dunlap says he wanted to come back to the Yermak to be part of something special at CMU.
Well, first is the university. It's dynamic. What John Marshall is doing is dynamic. So I wanted to be a part of that growth. And also the purity of Division II is special. The RMAC and the game of basketball, kind of a Hoosiers environment that I love.
Dunlap takes over a Maverick program fresh off a Sweet 16 appearance. Mike DeGeorge, the Mavericks' former coach, now the new coach at Cal Poly. As a Division I program. Baseball last night, Rockies falling at Philadelphia 5-0 as Austin Gomber takes a loss. Rockies will take on the Phillies again today, pregame at 3:30 on the Team Sports Network. The Fruita Monmouth baseball team won their 7th straight game in defeating Central 18-1 in 4 innings last night at Sam Saplesio Field. The Wildcats pounded out 18 hits as Josh Weaver went 2-for-4 with 4 RBIs, with Parker Noah going 2-for-3 with 3 runs scored, along with a 3-run home run for Fruita.
Kind of one of those things, one guy gets hot and then the next guy. It's one of those things, though, that we try to pass the torch down the lineup, and they did a good job tonight doing that.
Wildcats coach Casey Sullivan, Lewis Kuhn scored the lone Warriors run. Fruita Monmouth's T.J. Hines picked up the win in striking out 5 batters in 3 innings with an unearned run on 2 hits and 2 walks. It's now 17 straight wins for the Wildcats over Central as Fruita Monmouth moves to 11-4 overall. They're 3-0 in the Southwestern League, with the Warriors falling to 8-7 and 0-1 in league play. Delta Panthers baseball team played a doubleheader yesterday, and they improved to 10-3, winning both their games at Gunnison, 14-0 and 11-2. Ty Reed headlined both games, allowing just 1 hit, no walks, and 8 strikeouts in the first game, and a couple of RBIs in the second game. Panthers will face Roaring Fork on Saturday. The Fruita Monmouth girls soccer team extended their winning streak to 3 straight after shutting out Central 2-0 Tuesday night at Community Hospital Unity Field. The Wildcats improved to 4-5-1 overall, 3-1-1 in the Southwestern League. The Warriors dropped to 3-4-2 and 0-4-2 in the SWL. In other matches, Palisade improved to 8-1 with their 8-0 win at Coleridge. The Bulldogs' Mia DeViegas-Decker scored 3 goals in the win. Delta's 8-1 after drilling Grand Valley 11-1. The Panthers' Jessica Black scored 5 goals in the win for Delta. And girls' tennis, Fruita Monmouth beat Grand Junction 5-2 at Canyon View. And that's a look at
What's Happening.
Brought to you by ComWest, your technology service partner. If your business needs IT help, get them on the case today. Call ComWest, 970-242-8142, or go to comwestcorp.com. We'll take a break. Look back at the Rockies' loss last night to the Phillies. That's on the way. It's a Wine About a Wednesday. You can win a bottle of Talon Wine. You have the perfect wine to pair with whatever you're serving tonight. You can get your wines into us today on the team line, 970-242-1340.
Cuckoo, loony, and crazy. The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Thanks for joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. All right, Rockies lose at Philadelphia last night. Here's the good news about the game.
It was
a 5-0. It was a 5-0 game. Yep, that's where I was. Thanks for
oh, sorry.
Thanks for stealing my lead into this thing. It's okay. That was the silver lining last night, Buckeye. You're right. It was 2 hours and 7 minutes. Phillies fans got home in a nice, a decent hour last night.
You know, Rockies, we do what we can as Rockies fans and players.
Yes, fourth shortest 9-inning game in Citizens Bank Park history, by the way. And Ranger Suarez, big reason why. 7 hits, all singles, struck out 8, walked 1. ERA, 1.73. Got 17 outs on ground balls last night.
Woof.
And Ranger Suarez's counterpart, Austin Gomber, wasn't bad last night at all.
No, he was all right.
Gomber's okay. Gomber went 5 1/3, gave up 6 hits, 3 runs, 4 strikeouts last night. You'll take that if you're Bud Black.
Yeah.
But the problem for the Rockies was the 12 ground ball outs. You only had Brian McMahon with a multi-hit game. He was 2 for 4 last night. Diaz with a base knock. Montero, Doyle, Trejo, and Blackman with base hits last night. But the Rockies just couldn't get anything going offensively against Ranger Suarez. And so after the game last night, Bud Black, Rockies manager, talking about being owned by Ranger last night.
Really good fastball with movement. His secondary pitches played too, right? He had the curveball to a few of our hitters. Looked like he identified the curveball to a few of our guys. Good changeup, a little bit of a cutter in there too to the righties. But I think it starts with the moving fastball. It's a good fastball with movement, with sink, with run. We've seen him before, no secrets, but he was on tonight. He was really, really good. You know, it's tough. I mean, we got a lot of guys cutting their teeth as just young players, and they're seeing Barrios, they're seeing Nola, and tonight they saw Suarez, who pitched really well. This is experience firsthand against Major League pitching. So our guys will be better from it. Right. We Gomby hung in there. We couldn't break through. We got a few hits, but we couldn't bunch them together.
Gomby, damn it. You know, start calling him his nickname.
Yeah.
With the full credit to Eddie Murphy, by the way.
Yes.
He's right, though, about Austin Gomber last night.
Yeah.
And he pitched well enough to give him a chance, but then Bryce Harper. Harper had a big offensive night, drove in 3 runs, homered last night. What do you say? I mean, other than the Rockies just can't score runs. That happened, Berrios in Toronto, happened last night to Ranger Suarez. The offense, but then you think back to the Toronto game where they scored 12 runs and had 20 hits.
Yeah, they completely blew up the entire road trip on that game. They spread them out a little bit. Who knows what happens?
Exactly.
Gomber, 5 1/3, threw 89 pitches, 61 strikes. So he was well over 2-1 strike-to-ball ratio. Was balanced. Got 10 ground balls, 7 fly balls, 4 strikeouts. Game score's not great because he gave up 3 runs. Didn't go super deep into the game. But they were starting to get to him a little bit. I think that Bud Black kind of made the right move there a little bit. I think hopefully you get some offense to help Austin Gomber out and you don't have to worry about it. But you go 5 1/3, you give up 3 runs. That's a Rockies quality start. Like right. An actual quality start is 6 innings, 3 runs or less. That's a Rockies quality start. Yeah, we go 5.
On this show, we've talked about that. You dial back like the ERA.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 5, under 5, around 4.
Under 5 is stellar for a Rockies pitcher.
You'll take that. You'll take that every single time from a Rockies starting pitcher. Same with a quality start. You'll take 5 innings and 3 runs.
Because ideally, you should be able to find some runs to at least make you competitive in that game. That offense last night was not competitive. Like it was outside of McMahon and his 2 hits and Charlie Blackmon with a couple professional at-bats. I can't find another word to describe it outside of punchless. Once you get past 3 or 4 in the order, there's no one that threatens me right now.
And that's a big concern because we talked about with Chris Bryant essentially being a no factor, now hurt again.
Mm-hmm.
Brendan Rodgers.
I feel less threatened with Bryant in the lineup than I do without.
That's fair.
If I'm an opposing pitcher.
That's fair. So just check on the standings right now if you care to know where things are. Rockies are 4-14.
Remember when Miami sucked? They were like 0-9 to start the season. They've caught the Rockies.
They are now 4-14.
Mm-hmm.
So just...
Thank God for the White Sox.
White Sox are 2-14, your worst record in baseball.
But, amen.
But even the A's right now, the A's, they have 7 wins. The Astros have been off to a horrific start.
Yeah,
6-13, they're struggling.
They got problems.
Now they got some issues with Jose Abreu now, as far as he's not producing anymore. They've got some issues.
That's a lot of guys, though, on that team at this particular moment.
Not just him, but yeah, there's a lot of guys. But yeah, you look at it right now. White Sox are 2-14. I saw this the other day.
We need some help, though.
Yeah.
We both picked the Astros to go to the World Series.
I know.
We need a lot of help. It's early. There's, still 140 games to go or right around there, but we need some help. They're only 3.5 out of first place, though. And they're in last. Rockies are 7 out of first place. What's the bigger number? Rockies wins or Rockies games back at the end of the season?
Bigger number? I'm going to say games back.
I'm going to say games back.
Yeah, I'm going to say games back. Also, you mentioned the White Sox, which is the 2 wins. The resuscitated rumors about the White Sox maybe moving to Nashville. If you've seen this on the interwebs.
I haven't.
Came out at the end of March, but then there's been some other chatter on the internet that Jerry Reinsdorf pushed back against them leaving Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
That was last summer, but apparently in December, he met with Nashville's mayor.
There's just some teams you can't move. I think the White Sox would be one of those. I don't like the White Sox as a Guardians fan, but hey, you can't move the White Sox, can you? To Nashville?
You wouldn't think.
Hey, you move into a suburb, sure. But to Nashville?
Well, Nashville's been very aggressive. Of course, getting the Predators years ago. Titans are going to get a brand new stadium there.
Yeah.
And it's a possibility. It'd be weird, the Nashville White Sox. I just don't know about that. And it's not going to probably be an easy process if it does happen. But then again, who would have ever thought the A's would move?
I mean, at least the A's have a history of moving, though.
That's true. From Philadelphia to Kansas City to Oakland now.
This is akin to moving the Dodgers and the Giants to me.
I guess it's one of these things where if it's a franchise in the White Sox that that, you know, several years ago, did get to a World Series. And, you know, I don't know. It just seems like it's a struggling franchise. And if you start to string some years together where you don't play well, and attendance starts to drop, and you're an owner, and you don't like your stadium to begin with, then, you know, then all of a sudden that's when the chatter begins. Well, and you got cities like Nashville.
Didn't Reinsdorf own the Sox when they moved across the street to New Comiskey?
I believe he did. Yeah,
it's the same yard. You built that yard. Like, if you don't like it,
apparently it's not good.
You.
It's not good enough now.
Well, that yard's kind of just depressing. It's all of the corporate structure and none of the charm of, like, Coors Field. Coors Field is just as corporate as every other ballpark. There's just some charming aspects to it. Where, you know, what is it, Guaranteed Rate Field or whatever it's called now?
Right.
Is just kind of gray and there.
And so, apparently Nashville, they're looking at, they like to build a downtown stadium. And, you know, Memphis is also, there's the group that...
yeah, they could play at the Bass Pro Shop there in the pyramid.
That wants to get a team in Memphis. So, I don't know. See what happens with the future of the White Sox. But at least right now, they are the worst team in baseball. So, Rockies fans, you can't say,
right,
we have the worst team in baseball. Oh, no.
No, just the National League.
Just in the night and tied for the worst.
Yes, that's true.
They're not the worst team. They're tied for being the worst team in the National League.
124 years for the White Sox.
That just would seem, like I said, the A's at least, they've been somewhat of a, you know, a franchise that bounces around.
Yeah.
And so the move to Vegas, it's still, I think of the Oakland A's. Because during my life, because I'm thinking they moved. I remember when they moved to Oakland from Kansas City.
62?
Yeah, so it would have been.
Somewhere around
been,
there?
So, yeah, because that's.
67.
Okay,
68
so.
68 was their first year.
Okay, so they. I was alive a couple of years when they were still in Kansas City.
But only just barely.
Just barely. And so the majority of my life, they've been the Oakland A's. But you're right, in comparative history, the White Sox, what, 126 years, you said?
124, yeah.
124. I mean, that'd be sad. But would Chicago fans care because they got the Cubs? And is that as big a deal as it used to be with Cubs fans, White Sox fans? Likewise, with, you know, with the Mets and the Yankees, I think they're still that there. But I don't know if the Cubs and the White Sox, is that still something in the Windy City?
I think it is.
That's still a big deal that I'm a White Sox fan, I am not a Cubs fan, and I could never root for the Cubs, and I would think so. There's that history.
I think so, yeah.
And it'd be heartbreaking for those that are White Sox fans. You know, it's easy for us to say out here, well, just go be a Cubs fan. Well, that's
not how it works.
That's a generational thing that your grandfather and your dad and maybe your mom... Grandma and Grandpa, they all love the White Sox, and now they're going to be gone after 124 years.
There's certain parts of sports where you may not like that other team, but then there's other parts where you hate that team.
Even if it's a team that's in your city.
Yeah. Because you have another team. You have your team.
Right.
You know, you are a White Sox. You're a Mets fan.
And that was one of the attractive things about interleague play was, hey, White Sox and Cubs.
Yeah, Chicago series.
Cardinals and the Royals, Yankees, Mets, Astros, Rangers. Now
they're in the same division.
Now they're in the same league, but yeah, there was a point when Astros were in the National League that you went, okay, that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But
I still think it's a thing though. I don't know if it's as much just because of how bad the White Sox have been. Probably have a lot of that Homer Simpson meme. White Sox fans fading back into the hedges and coming out in their Cubs hat.
Yeah, 05 World Series for the White Sox seems like it was 124 years ago.
Feels like it was ages ago. They had the Black Sox scandal, and then they won it the next year, and then that was it.
That was
only 20 years ago.
Yeah. All right, 7:43, And it's time for, oh, by the way, Rockies, Phillies today, right here on the team, should mention that. 3:30 pregame, and your pitching matchup today, by the way, Ryan Feltner, Christopher Sanchez. Feltner the righty, Sanchez the lefty. Feltner, as we mentioned, been really off to a good start, 1-1, 3.38 ERA. Sanchez, he's 0-2, 3.52 ERA. So you're saying there's a chance, maybe. Yep. Maybe there's a chance for the Rockies today. All right, it's time for sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Well, last night was the NBA play-in games. Lakers up 3 late in the game. Reggie Miller turned the internet abuzz with something he said. I get what he's saying. He's not actually endorsing this. You have to listen to the whole comment start to finish.
Here's things that you talk about on the bus as players. If he makes the first one, you're up 3. Do you try to purposely miss the second one, knowing that they don't have any timeouts?
They have no timeouts.
And they've got to go coast to coast, because as soon as you miss it, time is going to start as soon as it's touched. Or do you just make them both, be up 4, and game over? These are things that are discussed as teams.
Lakers is extending his Lakers lead by 2.
So he's not endorsing missing. And there's a lot of people that thought he was.
Right, because I caught this segment, this sequence last night.
He said, this is what players talk about. And I get it. I understand what he's getting at. Because say you have the height advantage on the low post if you're the Lakers. You do miss that free throw. All you got to do is swat it into the air and the clock starts.
Right.
If you make it, you don't get a chance to touch it. You can only play defense at that point. Or you make a guy chase down a rebound. Now he's going away from the basket. 2.7. I know there's plenty of time to get it. I get all that, but I do also understand what Reggie's saying. And people have to remember is the front and the back end of this is conversations that happen. He didn't advocate. He said this is conversations that
happen. These are scenarios that are discussed before the game.
So,
and then it was Davis at the foul line,
and he made it, and it
made it irrelevant. Yeah. And I think he even said that later. Oh, he made it, and so, but yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, I when I was sitting here listening to him, I'm like, okay, and I'm kind of following what he's saying. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I never took it as that's what they should do.
Right.
It was these are scenarios that are talked about. What if we're in this position? Should we do this? So Lakers will take on the Nuggets to open up the playoffs Saturday night, pregame at 6.
Yeah.
And then your other game last night, the Kings beating the Warriors 118-94.
Oh, boy, did they.
Oh, yeah, they did.
But it's the same thing as taking a foul up 3.
Right.
Send them to the line because they can only make 2.
Right.
It's like, oh, why would you foul? Just let them dribble out. Well, what if they make the 3 then?
Then, yeah.
Even if they make both free throws and you foul, you're still up a point with possession. I get what he's getting at.
By the way, quick note about that Sacramento Golden State game. Klay Thompson, did not score in 32 minutes. He was like 0-10 from the field, something like that. Ooh, yeah, his future, I think, is
he probably, better call Subway.
He better. He better. Maybe his bud Steph can get him a job there. I don't know. All right, 7:46. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Look back at the high school baseball night last night and day yesterday. It was a very busy day in high school baseball. You can text or call us 970-242-1340.
Craptastic.
Not just crap today.
The team presents the Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the team.
Welcome back, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. It's Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. If you've got something you need to get off your chest, send it to us on the team line, 970-242-1340. Busy high school baseball day and night yesterday. Delta Panthers baseball team, they went to Gunnison, won a doubleheader against the Cowboys, 14-0 and 11-2. Ty Reed was really good in both games. Gave up just one hit, no walks, 8 strikeouts in the bump in the first game. Drove in a couple of runs in the second game. So Delta now 10-3 on the season. They moved to 3-0 in 3A Western Slope League play. And then last night you had the Fruit of Monument baseball team winning their 7th straight game. They beat Central 18-1 in 4 innings at Sam Saplesio Field. And after the game, Tyler Franzen had the chance to talk with both Wildcats head coach Casey Sullivan and Warriors head coach Joe Kellerby.
An 18-1. Your guys' bats were coming alive today. You had 18 hits, 18 runs scored. Tell me about your offensive production today.
The boys must have been seeing it pretty good because, it seems like we hit it where they weren't quite a bit. And so it was good. It was kind of one of those things. One guy gets hot and then the next guy. It's one of those things, though, that we try to pass the torch down the lineup, and they did a good job tonight doing that.
You know, I got to ask about Williamson out there. He started out great. He had five straight batters where he started ahead in the count, 0-for-2, and then a ball here, two balls there, all of a sudden it's full count. So, you know, do you take the good, do you take the bad? Hunter Williamson, though, gets the job done for you in the end.
Yeah, no, he plays with the lead, but I think he was, working on stuff, and I think taking that approach, where he's trying to hit a corner, or he's trying to be pretty fine with it, I'm okay with it, as long as that's his mentality. And so I think he's just working on some stuff, and so he'd get ahead and then kind of get behind a little bit. But ultimately, you play with a lead there and give yourself some time.
How important is it? I know this ball club's multi-time league winners. You guys are going for another league title again. A league win is always important. When it's a Valley rivalry team, how important is a win like that, especially as one as kind of lopsided as that?
They're all important, but it's something that the boys, they're proud of. They're proud of being SWL champs, and they want to keep doing that. And so, I wouldn't expect anything less from them.
You guys are going to see these guys again Friday, is that correct?
That is correct.
Any major changes you're going to go in terms of approach Friday, or is it going to be pretty much the same?
No, I think it'll be pretty similar. We'll probably change up the lineup just a little bit, but, I think for the most part, pretty similar lineup.
Well, Coach, we appreciate the time. Best of luck going forward. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, sir.
All right. That is Coach Casey Sullivan. Oh, we're down here with Coach Joe Kellerby. All right, so, Coach, I know this is a game that you're probably going to want to forget in terms of just seeing the score out there. Let's start, though. You guys had a decent first inning. Things, though, defensively kind of broke down for a little bit there.
Yeah, we've been preaching that when teams present outs to us, we've got to execute those, and you cannot give a lineup like Fruita extra outs. And, we've done it a lot of years leading up to this, and we said if we can get out of that first inning without a run and maybe put – something together, and we just didn't execute the game plan. And all credit goes to Fruita. Their lineup is superior, and we didn't pitch too bad, but just too many balls over the middle of the plate, and then we had opportunities to get off the field. We didn't do it, and that's what Fruita does. They capitalize on it inning after inning.
And one of the things after a game like this is you're going to have guys and maybe their confidence kind of dips a little bit. What do you kind of give as far as a message to try to get spirits back up, get guys back to kind of a winning mentality?
Yeah, we got 2 days of practice ahead. We're on a 6-game winning streak. We know what it takes to win games. We haven't played quite the competition that Fruita gives us, and we were excited about it. And basically what we said in the outfield was, they beat us on every aspect. Let's go get better in our next two practices and give them everything they want on Friday.
And to have such a relatively quick turnaround to play the same team again Friday, for you, I imagine it feels good to know that you're going to face the same team that you know what you need to correct going forward.
Yeah, we know what it takes to win baseball games, and we also know what it takes to lose baseball games. And so it's just a matter of being consistent, and we're still a fairly young team, and we're still understanding how to win this game. And we had a stretch there where we executed that. But again, all the credit to Fruita with them putting the pressure on us and us not kind of standing up to it. But, Friday's a new day, and we'll come in with a game plan. And if we can execute it, I think we'll give them a game.
We'll end on a good note here. We were talking up there in the booth about some of that young talent, that young up and coming talent, particularly the good guy out there on the outfield. As far as this young talent is concerned, and you're starting to see them get a few reps here and there, what are some of the things that you're seeing from them that gives you hope for the future?
Well, we just want to teach them to compete, and that's the main thing. I brought in Octavio Gallegos He's a freshman left-handed pitcher. I intentionally brought him in to face Scuba, who's a Division I talent. And I just looked at him and said, hey, man, you're at the park. You're about to face a Division I kid. Go have fun. Like, don't worry about the score. This is what's going to get you better. And Omar Atchley did a great job for us in left field and made a nice running catch. Got a base hit in that last inning, and he's another freshman. And so, you know, we're done saying, hey, they're freshmen and they need to learn. And so they are expected to come out here and produce. But this is all just, again, building for their confidence and their future.
Well, Coach, we appreciate the time. Best of luck going forward, and best of luck Friday against Fruta, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much.
All right, Joe Kellerby.
All right, that's Tyler Franson down on the field last night with both Fruta Monument coach Casey Sullivan and Central coach Joe Kellerby. So Wildcats have now won 17 straight against Fruta Monument in Southwestern League play as Fruta moves to 11-4. On the season. All right, we will take a break and we'll come back around the NFL coming up next hour. Got some wines today to win a bottle of wine from Dallin Wine. We'll also have a Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia. That's on the way. And next hour, Avs radio voice Connor McGahee joins us at 8:40. Dexter, call the show today. We'd love to hear from you on the team line, 970-242-1340.